Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, product manager at Microsoft, working on Windows Phone. Today I'm joined by with Steve Lasker, program manager in Windows Phone, working on the developer tools. He's going to tell us a little bit about the new developer tools for Windows Phone 8.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff that we've been working on, and I'm really happy to be able to show it today. Why don't we just jump right in, because there's a lot of great demos we wanted to show. The first is, I've got the Express SKU here. That's for Visual Studio 2012.
Right. We've always had free tools for Windows Phone. We continue now with Windows Phone 8 to have free tools. This Express SKU is based on Visual Studio 2012 now.
Absolutely. And in the Express SKU, not only do we have phone development, but one of the big features that we've been asked about was, can I connect to TFS in the Express SKU?
Wow.
And we can do that now as well.
In the free version.
In the free version. And of course, if you've got Ultimate or Pro, it'll just light up the phone features in that SKU as well. So we'll jump right in. One of the things in projects, in addition to C# and Visual Basic, we now have support for C++ as a native first-class citizen for phone development as well.
A lot of people are really excited about being able to build apps for Windows Phone in C and C++.
Absolutely. And you can add native code to your XAML layout if you're doing your UI in XAML and you want to do some more advanced
sort of a hybrid project, if you will, between XAML and Direct3D. If you kind of like we had XAML Silverlight before, or Silverlight and XNA before together.
Right.
Now we have XAML with D3D together. So you can actually leverage the functionality of D3D in the context of your XAML app.
Exactly. And if you want to go full native, we certainly support that project as well. If you're bringing games or other code from other platforms, you can bring that straight across. Rather than drill in here, yep. Sam does a presentation with you, and
yep.
I'll let him drill into the details there. Now, what we've also done is we've also added an HTML5 project template as well. So for those that want to bring their HTML assets but don't want to run in a browser because they really want that UI to be running locally,
right.
You can build a Windows Phone app, have your HTML and your scripting all in the app, and then you're only sending the data across the internet.
And what this template is doing is it's creating a XAML project that's hosting the HTML5 browser control, correct?
Right. So it's got all that basic infrastructure in there for you, and then you can just add what you need to it as well. So that's those two. Now, the other thing that we've done is incorporated a lot of feedback from customers around what should that project template look like when it's actually run. And now, projects tend to be a little more complex than a standard, hello world kind of thing. So what we've done is we've created a more realistic project structure. Rather than put everything in the root and everything kind of gets cluttered all over your room, right? You want to have things
right.
in nice folders and drawers. So we've created things like an assets folder where we're storing our tiles, and we've named the tiles a little more appropriate for things related to the new tile templates that I'll show in a minute. Some of the other cool features of Visual Studio is you actually get some previewing of the icons, so you don't actually have to double-click and open it. So you can see that I've got
right.
some of the imagery here. So that's to start. Now, one of the other things that we've done is we brought the best of Blend into Visual Studio. So you don't have to be switching back and forth all the time. There's a lot of features brought straight into Visual Studio here. So we'll switch over the document outline.
And this is exactly like in Blend. No.
Exactly. And you'll see when we go to the property sheet that I can get that as well. So let me just dock this here. Now, one of the things that people want to do is they add the application bar.
Right.
And that's been commented code in the past. Well, we now have the ability to do that right
the
here
blend
in
feature.
The designer.
Right.
So I could add a menu item or a menu bar, and if I come over to the properties grid, and you notice the properties grid looks a lot like
the blend properties.
Right? I can
yep.
search for when I've got all of those properties, and I could come over here and choose which icon I want in the application bar.
Awesome.
And I could come over and say add another one. Let's see, add another bar, and we'll just go over and make this, cancel. And you'll see that we've got that capability right there. Yeah, you can do it. There it goes. Now, when we've done it, not only do we have the application bar, but as I said, we wanted to incorporate this into a good project project structure. And we've used that assets folder, and rather than dump these images straight in the root,
it's automatically put them in there.
In the app bar folder, yeah.
And it's added them as content or as resource so that you're set up correctly
this time. It's all set up exactly the way you need it, so you're good to go there. Now, that adds a lot of the capabilities that we wanted to add before into the project, and that kind of gets us going there. So let's kind of drill in here a little bit more. One of the things that we've done is we also support the manifest designer for configuring your app, how it gets submitted to Marketplace, you know, what resolutions you want to support.
Because we have new resolution support now for three different size devices.
Absolutely.
And so you can actually, you don't have to design for these other resolutions, but if you choose to, you can create optimized images for these different.
Absolutely, and we'll show that in a minute here. And we have the three here. So WVGA is what we previously shipped.
Right.
And then WXGA is the same aspect ratio, but higher res. So you can put high res assets here. And 720p is also high res, slightly different aspect ratio. I'll do a demo of that in a minute here. So in here, we also have the ability to design tiles. And notice we now have a large tile. In fact, if I...
What you're defining here is your primary tile. Right.
Primary.
If you've got secondary tiles, you do that in code, and you don't necessarily need to do anything at this point here.
Correct. But if you want to support large tiles for those double wides, as you've probably seen, you can do that here and click and add your asset.
Right.
We also have different tile templates. So we have the cyclic?
Sure. Yes, and we talked to Thomas about this in a separate video,
perfect.
So we don't need to go in depth on what we're doing here. But essentially, we're giving third-party developers the ability to create rich, powerful tiles that look and feel a lot like the tiles that we use in our operating system. So we've got an iconic one that uses that big number on the side. Previously, you had to write a server app to do some of that stuff. And then we have a cycle here. This one's about rotating images on your tile.
Absolutely. So we have all that. Notice because I did not provide the right assets yet, I get some feedback in the manifest designer that I need to go and complete that.
Previously, you had to run the Marketplace test kit to get that kind of feedback.
Absolutely. So, and we still have the Marketplace test kit, but we've brought in a lot of those core features up front. Now, we had capabilities in the previous version.
Sure.
But
all this was in that XAML, XML file, though.
Yes.
So now this is much more friendly.
And, you know, you can click and you can see the ones we've already got defaulted. But the thing that we've done is, as our hardware becomes more diverse and we have more capabilities, we've seen that certain apps are targeted and need or require a certain capability for them to function.
Yep.
Such as a wallet app. A wallet app, you know, if it, that's all it does, I have no reason to even download it on my phone if I happen to not support NFC or NFC secure element.
Well, if it's just using that NFC proximity or NFC secure element.
So I can now tell my app, so when it submits to Marketplace, don't even show this to users who don't have these particular capabilities.
Right.
So just some nice features there supported as well. So that's, you know, all the stuff around what we've done at Apollo in a first for Create New Project. Now, you were asking about what do I do around, you know, my 7X development as well.
Right. If I already have a Windows Phone 7 app, I've got the new tools. What do the new tools bring to me? Because you can actually use the new tools with your Windows Phone 7 code.
Absolutely. So I have a project here that I'll start here for a second. And this is a unified project that I have with both a 7X development and an 8.0 version. And you'll notice that I've got that here. And an 8.0, if I look at the emulators that I've got available to me, they're the multiple resolution ones we just talked about.
For Windows Phone 8.
For Windows Phone 8. But if I go to and I set my 7X project as my startup, you'll notice that now my emulator list includes the ability to test this on 7X as well. So if
That's fantastic. And what this means for developers who have 7X apps, one of the things we'll be talking to you a little bit more in time to come is around testing your 7X app against the 8 emulators. Because although we know that Windows Phone 8 was designed to run all existing Windows Phone apps, of course, this is a monumental shift in a lot of the operating subsystem of the actual platform. Mm-hmm. So there will be cases you definitely want to test your application against 8 and see how it performs, and there may be things you want to do to optimize that experience.
And let's take a look at some of those with resolutions, for instance. So I'm going to run this here in the 7X emulator, and I have the 7X here. And one of the things is we actually changed the emulator in between 7X and 8.0. So here we're running the old VPC client, and you'll notice that everything seems to be working just as I expect, nothing magical here. Now, I'm not going to drill in too much here, but I do want to show related to the multiple resolution work is if I run this in the 720 emulator.
Of Windows Phone 8.
For Windows Phone 8. So let's see. This is, all right, so there's my 7.1 app running under Windows Phone 8. Well, notice that my screen real estate, although the emulator is a little bit taller, what we've done is we wanted to protect the layout for developers that targeted 7X and said, this is what I expect to be shown. So that's what we've done here.
A little bit of letterboxing.
Right. If I want to take advantage of that extra screen real estate, that's an 8.0 feature. We'll talk about some features we can bring down to 7X as well, but for now, let's just show the emulator capabilities here for 8.0. So what I have is, I have that same project in here. Whoop, there we go. I've actually linked the files together. So this is another really cool feature.
So they're sharing code between the 8.0 version and the 7X version.
Absolutely. Like my view models, for instance, are shared between the two. In fact, if we look, you can see that the linked imagery is here that's linked to this one. And one of the things that we did was we made this a lot easier in 8.0 to, or in Dev 12 to be able to bring linked files across. In previous versions, you had a right-click and say add existing item and click the funky link button and everything. And now what I can do is I could actually even click a folder. So what I can do is drag the folder, and if you notice, look at the plus sign there.
Right.
If I hold the Alt key, it automatically shifts to a link. And it will automatically handle the differences. Oh, I dragged it into the root. Sorry. Let's fix that. I'll drag that back into the root of the project. And notice it automatically dealt with the fact that I already have some of those files there, so it didn't have to do anything. Didn't give me errors, duplicate errors, or anything to that effect. It just automatically linked those.
So this is a strategy that a lot of developers with existing apps might want to take into consideration when creating an 8.0 version. They might want to not just update their 7X app, they might want to actually create a new version.
Absolutely.
And that will enable them to take advantage of 8.0 features while still maintain and support the existing 7X app. And our new Dev Center makes it really easy for them to submit and support both bind mares going down the road. So this is a great feature in Visual Studio that you can do this.
Absolutely, and that's the big thing, right? We know that our installed base is 7X, and we're going to have new phones coming in 8.0. We want developers to be able to maintain both versions of their apps. So we've added those capabilities to be able to link files very easily in there. All right, so let's get focused a little bit more on the 8.0 project I have here. In the new projects, one of the things I want to be able to show is the new localization features.
Okay.
And actually, let me go
Our
back.
Our template has some more stuff now for localizing your app to help get you started.
Absolutely. And let me just go back here and show that. So if I go to the main page, we'll see that I've got my title. And if I just maximize this here, we'll see that we've added some code here that you can copy and bring right over to the title. And it will data bind to code that we've already added to your project that will include those localized strings. So if I go to the resources, remember I was mentioning that we had
yes.
the project structures a little better.
We've already set up the ResX file for you.
ResX file is set up there. We've already set up the particular one for its English and left to right.
Right.
So if you want to localize this in different languages, you can hand off this ResX file to somebody else and say, I want this to be in Arabic.
This is great. And obviously, we're in a global marketplace. And as a developer, if you want to optimize the impact that you could potentially have, you're going to want to think about how to localize your app. And this gets you started.
Absolutely. So I've changed the application title to be Channel 9. And we'll just close this and we'll rebuild.
And there you go.
And notice now my title is picking up
the power of XAML data binding.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Has brought you easier localization.
So that was one of the things. And now the other piece of that, obviously, for those two other strings for right to left, is here in the application initialization. So here we go.
App.xaml.cs here, where the lifecycle lives.
Yep, and we've done the initialization of language. And if I just click in here, you'll see that we set the root frame language and the flow direction based on those other two elements that we have.
So we're automatically checking what the emulator set to and then executing based on that.
Absolutely. So
the fact that the emulator is much more full feature now is a big win here too, right?
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the emulator, actually. So if I go to the home screen of the 8.0 emulator,
right.
I'll just kind of switch back over. Which one is it? So many emulators. There we go.
You've got a lot of emulators. This is our 7X emulator. You can tell by the flag.
There you go. So the older logo. And all we had there was the IE icon. It was a fairly constrained emulator.
Right.
Whereas in 8.0, we actually have a lot of the apps brought directly in here. So you can really get a feel for how your app's going to run.
It's important for the developer, too. If you're leveraging things like launchers and choosers to actually plug into the experience of the phone, to be able to actually execute and understand how your app lives inside the context of the full operating system.
Absolutely. And you can see we've got the small tiles and large tiles. And let's see. We'll come back to our corkboard app here in a minute. So another cool feature of the emulators that we've got here. All right, well, let's take a little bit and go back to our corkboard app and talk about the multi-resolution features that we've got inside of Visual Studio 2012 and Windows Phone 8. So if I come over here and we looked at our 7X version, remember we preserved the layout. And that's because we just don't know how those apps were intended. We want to make sure we had the best compat we could have. So if I come over, one of the things we've added is a device panel. And using my layout...
It looks like the one that was in Blend.
Absolutely. And notice that I've got some sample data loaded here. I've got 10 items displayed. And that's with my WVGA layout. If I go to WXGA, it pops up a little bit bigger because it's a higher res, but I still have 10 because it's the same aspect ratio. But if I come to 720, you'll notice I wound up with an extra line item.
Right.
Now, I didn't have to do anything in my XAML. I've got my grid set up to be auto, so it'll automatically take advantage of that extra space. And I can see that right here. I don't have to do Control F5 or F5 and going through my emulator or my device. I can see that right here in the layout.
And a lot of this is because of the power of dynamic layout in XAML.
Yep.
That if you use, based on the types of container objects you use in XAML, you'll get a different experience with regard to how that text lays out, and you get the other resolutions for free in many ways.
The way we think about it is you design for one and you test for three.
That's right.
You can opt into those different resolutions, but by default, we try to do the right behavior for you so you don't have to worry about it, including scaling the images. Now, if I run this on the three emulators, let's see, I'll run this on 720, I'll run this on WXGA, and then once it finishes deploying, I'll run this on the WVGA one as well. And what we'll do is we can notice all three of them running here. So now I've got all three of the primary resolutions running. Notice these are the same aspect ratio, so they look pretty much the same.
Right.
And here's my larger one, which the extra line item is in it.
Right.
But if we look, the corkboard kind of looks a little blurry here, and I got these high-res devices. I might want to load a higher-res image on my high-res devices.
Right.
And I can opt into that. And because our lower-res devices tend to have less memory, I don't necessarily want to have all of that stuff running in on the device at that point. So what I can do is, again, through the power of data binding, I will go grab this just piece of code because I don't want to spend too much time here. And I'm going to pop that in there, and now I'm dynamically going to load the background based on the particular resolution that I'm running. In fact, I've decorated the background there.
How does the code work? Does it do a check at some point on what device you're on? Or
it basically reads the scale of the device, and I've got the code in here. We'll make this available as a sample so that it'll not only read the resolution, but I can do fallback as well. So if we notice here, if I run WVGA, I'll see the WVGA background. I just kind of type that on that background.
This is just a demonstration. Doesn't necessarily how you would execute on it.
Exactly. Then I've got the WXGA, but notice when I go to 720p, I'm not grabbing yet a third image because it's the same one. I'm fine with that. And if I look, you'll see that I've got the two different backgrounds here, and I can even hover over.
There you go.
So we'll deploy this again to the three emulators. And we'll just, it's pretty fast how fast we can deploy to all three emulators as well. So now notice that my, and I don't know how well this will work on the recordings as people are watching this on the recording there, but I've got a little bit of a lower res image, and it still looks fine. But here are my two high res devices. We notice that the cork is a little more crisp.
A little more cork-like.
A cork, yes. And again, I've got my extra item. So
right.
That's just some of the ways that you can opt into the multiple resolution scaling. But by default, you don't have to do much of anything.
Except I think you're also going to show us some of the new simulation features.
Yes. So there's some other cool features that we've done here as well. So
the emulator previously had a few things like location and accelerometer and screenshots. And we still have those, but we're adding some more things now in Windows Phone 8.
Well, what you're referring to, actually, I think, is the ability to test your app in an environment where your phone's running. It's some of the real-world scenarios that we've done.
Right.
So I'm going to use my 721 over here. And I'm going to come over here. Now, let's say that I'm running my app, and let's just say it's a game or it's some animation. And I've got a little page here I've set up for this. And by default, my animation's running back and forth. I could be shooting or getting shot in some game.
Right.
And if I get some kind of notification, because this is a phone, right? It's not just a gaming console.
Yes, yes.
How do I test my app to make sure it functions?
Got to iterate here on the fact that great phone apps can handle interruptions because it's a phone. And people get phone calls. And people get notifications. So you need to actually handle those life cycle events appropriately. And so
Absolutely.
We've got new tools here, Steve's showing.
So we've got this new simulation dashboard. And in addition, I'll just start here with simple. First of all, I'll toggle reminder. Now, I've got the code written right. So if I'm getting a reminder, my game will pause. I'm not going to get shot. I can, you know, kind of answer my thing. And I've rather than just having it come back in a bullet coming at my head, I can kind of wait and say, okay, I want to continue play, and off it'll go.
Right.
And that's fine, but here, what happens when I go into lock screen, and I come back out of lock screen, I've got my continue button here. I've got some kind of behavior set up, and depending on when I hit this, this thing might actually grow and come back again. Let's see if I can get that same kind of funky behavior. All right, so I obviously have some kind of bug here. Let's take a look. So if I look at my code for the animation here, what I've done is on the loaded event, I start my animation.
Right.
And it's really around how the navigation stack runs related to whether I've just got a notification, a reminder that comes up on top, or in this case, because I've actually locked the device. So if I run this with debugging on this time, we'll take a look at how this actually fires and how the event lifecycle. So I come over to animations again, and notice that the first time I navigate, I get loaded, and that's fine.
Right.
Hold on a second. I didn't reset my demo. We will do it this way here.
On navigated too.
Yeah. So normally on Navigated 2, I might have added that code. But the problem is when I, all right, so I'm in the loaded. I hit my breakpoint.
Yeah.
So I'm all good here. But if I go to the tools, simulation dashboard, and I lock the device, and notice that I've my breakpoint's about to hit here.
It didn't stop.
It didn't stop because I have a breakpoint afterwards, but I still got my bug, right? See, it's still running.
Yep.
That was what I was talking about before. What I want to do is I'll set a breakpoint here and I'll lock it again. And what's happening is on Navigated 2 is firing because I've locked it and unlocked the device.
Right. Locking and unlocking constitutes an on Navigated 2 event.
And that's not the behavior I want. I don't want the animation to start again. What I really want is to have that run inside the loaded event as my code was a minute ago.
Right.
And we will go back in there. And I love how fast this thing just steps into it. So now my loaded event is firing, and that's fine. And my animation is running. And if I lock and unlock, everything's paused. And now continue, because notice that the on navigated to, I don't have my code in there. It's really unloaded, and I've got the code in the appropriate place for
right,
handling
so
resume and suspend.
The important thing to note here, then, is that we've added a lot of functionality to enable you to test how your application is going to operate on real-world devices. These are really key enhancements to Visual Studio to help you make a great app.
And there's some more in here as well, and we don't have a lot of time to jump into them, but you know, I can simulate the network simulation for speed, and I can slow things down if assuming I've got a high-speed connection, or I could even make my connection kind of flaky, and I can debug some of my code that might be making assumptions around whether my service can actually be called and how fast.
And you mentioned something about power consumption.
Yeah, so another area we don't have time to drill into here, but in the previous versions of tools, we had the whole performance analysis tools. We can now monitor things like battery. So we can start to see the consumption of your app, and it could be related to this. Animation may be running
in the background. That's just critical because we know that third-party applications running on a power-constrained device can oftentimes have a substantial negative impact on the battery life, which is something that's unacceptable to end users. And we want people to have an outstanding end-user experience on the device.
And that's the key, and that's what we're trying to bring with the tools that we've got in Visual Studio 2012 and for Windows Phone 8. As we've just, we've done a lot of things with providing more emulators to emulate the features. We still have the enhancements here for taking screenshots, simulate location, network. So a lot of the great tools that you're familiar with before. We've added new features such as the simulation dashboard.
All in the power of the new Visual Studio 2012 on top of Windows 8.
Absolutely.
Well, this is great. Thank you for your time today, Steve.
My pleasure. I look forward to doing some more.
See you next time on Inside Windows Phone.